Men endeavor to deceive the simple, to allure the unsuspecting, and to beguile the weak, to accomplish their own purposes of wickedness. And their plans are often very well laid. Like I said before, King Herod was not some ignorant, unprepared person. You can see it by his great, he was called Herod the Great, not only for the length and time that he ruled, but because of all the things that he did in the region, his architectural feats. Herod is devious, but so is our enemy, Lucifer, Satan, the great deceiver, and he is seeking to destroy men today, just like he tried to deceive the world and to kill the baby Jesus. Not only was Herod deceitful, he was destructive. In verse number 16, Matthew chapter 2, verse number 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. The wise men did not return as he had expected, because they were warned of God. Thank God for warnings. Thank God we have the Bible, and thank God that we don't have to be in the dark as to what is happening in the world. The Bible says he was exceeding wroth. That means very angry. Very angry. He was disappointed in his plans, but he was going to accomplish the same thing. This is an illustration of the power of anger. Anger stops at nothing. The power of anger, it will stop at nothing, whatever it has to do. He that has a wicked heart and indulges in anger knows not where it will end, and will commonly commit far more evil than he at first intended. Barnes wrote that in his notes on the New Testament. He will go farther than what he first intended because of anger. We see that on our highways every day. People get angry, and all of a sudden, they go farther than they ever intended. And then they say, I don't know what happened to me. I don't know what. It was like I was not even in control. I want to talk to you this morning about God is still in control. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In the midst of turmoil is there rest. The Bible says it. The Bible says in Jude, verse number 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Today we are serving the Lord. We come together to worship him. But oftentimes, if the world were here, they would call us liars. They would seek to silence what we would say because it's considered hate speech. The Bible says that there shall arise many trouble. Many troubled times. A lot of time, the men of this world are men of evil who reign. But that does not change the fact of Hebrews 9:27. The wages of sin is death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Even when we have evil men ruling and unrighteous laws getting passed, God is still in control. We have evil being brought back from good news about Jesus' birth. We have violence being performed. And it brings about sorrow and trouble. Verse number 16, Matthew chapter 2, verse number 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. You say, Brother Tigner, this was supposed to be a time of joy. We're talking about Christmas, Brother Tigner. Well, a lot of times, what should be is different from what is. And in this world, we shall have tribulation. Are we prepared? We have been warned about what is coming. Have we prepared ourselves? Bethlehem was a place of mourning. Bethlehem, where Rachel gave birth to her son, Benjamin, but she didn't call him Benjamin. She called him Benoni, the son of her sorrow. This is the place. This is the place, a place of death, a place of mourning. This was not the first instance of mourning in the town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem and the region around there, Ramah. The word of God mentions this Ramah in verse number 18. Ramah was just outside of Bethlehem. It was here when the Babylonians came and invaded that the Jews were led in, and some were sent to Babylon and others were just killed right there on the spot. They decided, okay, you get to live, you get to die. This is Ramah. So when the Bible talks about mourning in Ramah, it has several instances, not the least in the days of Jesus. Can you imagine an all-knowing God putting this in the scripture and saying, okay, this is going to occur here? It's awe-inspiring to know that Jesus was in control at all times. We see a place of mourning. When we think about Bethlehem today, do we think of it as a place of mourning? We think of it joyously. This is the place of Jesus' birth. God changes things from mourning to joy. Yeah, we serve a great God. How deep was their mourning? The Bible says that she would not be comforted. What is it actually talking about? Rachel? No, it's representative of the people. And we are representative of the world we live in. People today need to be comforted. A lot of people have lost hope. And they wonder when this will end. We have looked at a wicked response to the good news. But the wise men were not deceived. In Matthew chapter 2, verse number 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The way was rerouted by God. The wise men had planned to give a report to Herod, but they did not. The way was different. And many times, the way that we should go is not the way that we have planned or the way we think. And that causes us anxiety when things change. The wise men were miraculously warned by God. But I want you to realize that God didn't tell them about Herod's plot when they were going to seek Jesus. They had to wait until after. Did God know about Herod when they were in the temple? Yeah, God knew. Did he tell the wise men when they were still with Herod? No. Wasn't time for them to know yet. God in his wisdom waited until after they had rejoiced with the child and brought him the gifts, because the child was going to need those gifts to travel into Egypt. Just in time. God provides, doesn't he? Just in time. When it was time to warn the wise men, the warning came and they heeded. They obeyed. They obeyed God rather than man. They went God's way rather than return to Herod. Look at the working of God. God directs and protects the lives of those that put him first. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." 2 Timothy 4:18, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Psalms 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Psalms 91:4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Over and over again, we see that in the midst of trouble, in the midst of sorrow, of great distress, God is under control. He's working, the working of God. Number two, the wisdom of God. What would have happened if the wise men said, "Oh, we can go back the same way. We won't tell Herod. We'll go back the same way. We'll just not tell Herod." You know, that would not be wise. But many today will not listen to the wisdom of God, but seek their own strength. Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." We have a God that everything is clear He sees. He knows. When he gives us a warning, it's because he knows. Should we listen? Or should we rely upon our own strength? 1 John 3:20, God knoweth all things. Job 31:4, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? All my steps, every single step that I take, God knows about. Psalms 147, verse number 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Everything is planned by God and fulfilled by God. When we look at the story of Jesus' birth, we look at all the prophecy that was fulfilled. His birth in Bethlehem. What happened? An edict by a Roman emperor made everyone angry. Made everyone have to leave their home to go to their hometown. But it was because Jesus needed to be born in Bethlehem. It was the plan of God. His exile in Egypt was a fulfillment of Hosea 11, verse number 1. A ruler seeks to kill Jesus. And their parents have to leave in the middle of the night. Chaos. But God is in control. The children slain. Heartaches and questions. Why did this have to happen? But it was prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 15, that it would happen. We don't understand why. We just have to rely upon His strength. And know that He's still in control even when difficult things happen. Jesus' residence in Nazareth, as we'll see in just a few minutes, all these events were planned and fulfilled by God. The Magi were seeking the king. Herod was opposing the king. And the Jewish priests were ignoring the king. I don't understand how just being 5 miles away, the wise men knowing and actually telling others, okay, this is where he's going to be born. They didn't go to see Jesus. They ignored the priest. Ignored the king. They didn't go see him. Not only were the wise men warned, but Joseph and Mary were warned. Verses 13 through 18, we see the history. Because this happened, we have been recorded facts. We see a hostility against the newborn king. In fact, throughout the whole book of Matthew, Matthew records event after event about the hostility of the people of Israel against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Time and again, instead of rejoicing, they were angry. Why? Jesus was not of this world. He didn't come to establish rule on this world. He's got a far better place prepared for us. Jesus was in danger. And Joseph was told what their danger was. Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Was God ignorant? No, God knows about all the cruel projects and purposes of the enemies. God said in Isaiah chapter 37 to Sennacherib, I know thy rage against me. Is the world going to be angry? Is the world going to do evil things? Yes. What do we need to do as Christians? What did Moses, what did Joseph and Mary do? They heard God's warning and they heeded. They followed God's directions. They fled to Egypt. Egypt, 60 miles away, middle of the night, let's get up and start a 3-day journey. You can walk about 20 miles a day. If you do it right, you can get about 20 miles. That'll take you about 3 days to get to Egypt. And you're going to start in the middle of the night. Isn't this wonderful? What we don't see is them complaining about it. They just got up and went. They obeyed God. Joseph. Not much is said about Joseph, but I have been studying and I'm amazed at this man of faith. He was told to marry a woman that was pregnant. What does he do? He obeys. He obeys and he marries Mary. He believes God and says, I will do what God said, even though it doesn't make sense. Even though it has to be a miracle. This man obeyed God even when everything appeared to be otherwise. Once and again in the time of Jesus' early life, we see Joseph leading his family out of harm's way. He goes down into Egypt. Why? To obey God. He comes back out of Egypt and be warned of God. Once again, warned of God. He doesn't go to return to Judea, but goes to Nazareth, listening and obeying God's command. How well God provided for the young child and his mother in appointing Joseph to stand in so near to in a relationship with them. The gold that the wise men brought would stand them instead to bear their needs in this critical hour. God's in control. Bring gifts from afar. Children of God, why do we doubt that God is in control? Why are we so disappointed at times when we see evil reign? Why do we disparage of life even? Why do we wail and say there's no hope, there's no future? On the contrary, even when evil reigns, God is in control. Be thou there until I bring thee word. Joseph was told to go down to Egypt and just wait. Okay. How long do I need to stay in Egypt, God? Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you when it's time. I don't like this. I like to plan ahead. Most men do. God says, Joseph, get up in the middle of the night, take your mother and the child, and go to Egypt, and I'll tell you when to come back. Okay, we're leaving, and we're going to Egypt, the land of captivity, the land where the Israelites were in bondage and severely mistreated. Why Egypt, God? This is, you know, Egypt is supposed to be a place of the world. Why send your son to Egypt? Wrong place, God. Doesn't seem like this would be the spot, but it was all according to the will of God. Everything was planned. The scripture had to be fulfilled. Hosea 11:1, I called my son out of Egypt. The king of the Jews was going to live in Egypt in exile for a few years. Perfect. Yeah. No wonder the Israelites had such a terrible time with the history of this man. He was not born in a palace. He didn't live in Jerusalem. Yet he was supposed to be king. Wow. Why? Well, Herod died. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Herod died. I don't think he was prepared, which is sad. And those that had sought his life, it wasn't just Herod, one of his sons was just as bad. And the son that came to power, Archelaus, came to power. He was supposed to rule all of Herod's kingdom, but the Jews found out that his promises were not secure, were not sincere. He said that, "I'm going to be kind. I won't be like my father." And the Jews discovered that in spite of his promises, Archelaus was as wicked as his father. And so they sent a delegation to Rome to protest his crowning. Because of that, Augustus Caesar, agreed with the Jews and made Archelaus an ethnarch. He just reigned over half the kingdom. He was in control of the lower half of Judea. God calls his son and out of Egypt and told Moses, he told Joseph, sorry about that. I don't know why I have Moses on my mind today. Maybe next week, I don't know. He told Joseph, "You need to return to Israel." Joseph started on his journey, and all of a sudden he hears that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, and he's all upset. This was another evil man, capable of terminating life just like Herod. How do we know that? Well, when he came to power, he killed 3,000. Who are you talking about? Archelaus. As soon as he came into power, he killed 3,000 of the rulers of the Jews when he came to power. He did not have a good rapport. I will call thee. I'll tell you. God spoke to Joseph in a dream, and they went and returned to Nazareth. Nazareth. What's Nazareth? Well, it's a small town, about 4 miles from to the south of the Roman capital of Galilee. The Roman capital of Galilee was Sepphoris. Sepphoris was where the other king reigned, Philip. 4 miles south of the capital of Galilee, you have the town of Nazareth. It was a despised town because of its association with Sepphoris, the capital of Galilee, the Roman capital of Galilee. It was any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's how deeply this town was despised. Jesus said, God said, "Take my son Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, and go to this humble town." I see every part of Jesus' life on this earth was not one of a pompous, a fame, fortune. Every single aspect ordered by God was one of humility. Jesus shall be called a Nazarene, Matthew said. Why was it fulfillment? Was it a fulfillment of? Isaiah 53 verse 2 says he was despised and rejected of men. Psalms 22 verses 6 and 7, a worm, referring to Jesus, a worm and no man. Once again, speaking of his undesirableness. Psalm 69 verses 7 and 8, an alien to his brethren. Every single aspect of Jesus' life made him an outcast. Even his early life. Why? Maybe God wants us to be comforted when we're alone. When we think no one cares about us. When all the world is antagonistic against us. Knowing God will exalt us in due time. Jesus, the Son of God, came from a humble birth. There was no room for him in the inn. When he comes back out of Egypt, out of exile, there's no room for him in Judea. Jerusalem, which is the capital, should welcome the king, right? Wrong. He turns aside to go to Nazareth, despised town. Wow. God in control? When everything is wrong, when everything seems like everything is going the wrong direction. God's will and way has a reason behind of it. God put a warning to Joseph. He listened, he fled to Egypt. He listened and came back and went to Nazareth. Joseph was a man of faith. His faith required attentive listening. God didn't tell Joseph all about what he was going to do at the first. He directs him what to do and that he must go and return to the land of Israel. And he didn't tell him that he had to turn aside to go to Nazareth until he got into Israel. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. God is in control. But we just have to step one step at a time and keep listening. We have to keep our relationship to God in the correct. God could have given these instructions with the former. But God chose to reveal his mind to his people by degrees to keep them waiting on him, expecting to hear further from him. Are we expecting? Are we waiting? Do we desire to be ready when he comes? And I believe he's coming soon. This world points to the fact we have to wait upon God for deliverance. Once again, Jesus' life is in danger. It was in danger when he was born. There was no room in the inn. He was in danger when Herod sought to kill his life once and again. He was devious. He was destructive. Herod was seeking any way to do it. When he came back from Egypt, he was in danger again. Archelaus was reigning. But God moved and directed them at the right time, miraculously. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 123, verse 2 says, behold, as the eyes of the servants look upon the hand of their masters, And as the eyes of a maiden upon the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he hath mercy upon us. Thank the Lord for his mercy. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 verse 31, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hosea 12:6, therefore turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. Achilles was reigning. You know, we need people that will heed God's warning today. We need families that will heed God's warning and teach from the Word of God how we should live to their children. Archelaus followed the steps of his father. And the Bible teaches us that as parents, we should seek to direct our children. 2 Chronicles 22:3 talks about Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, and it says his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Are mothers important on how to raise their children? Yes. But it's not just mothers. Jeremiah 9:14, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, which their fathers taught them. We have warnings from God. We're not ignorant of what's going to happen in the last days. And I believe God is fulfilling his promises. He will have the victory at the end, but perilous times shall come. Listen to what God says in Amos 2:4. I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. And their lies cause them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. Today, in America, we're going to have troubled times, because God has not changed. When we decide to rule the nation contrary to what God has said, God will judge. Did Herod die? Did he have judgment? Yes. But even in the midst of evil, even in the midst of chaos, God is still in control. We need to stay close to God. We need to strengthen our faith in God. God is in control. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Psalm 73:24. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Isaiah 30:21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, when ye turn to the left, this is the way, God says. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. This amazing story about what Jesus went through when he was a child is just another illustration of what God has promised to his saints? Are we prepared to meet the evils of this life? Are we prepared to endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ? Are we prepared to be more than conquerors through Christ? All that happened in chapter 2 and throughout the Bible in the life of Jesus was done to complete his word, his will, his way. Are we listening to God? Are we seeking his wisdom? Are we wanting his will in our lives? Are we discouraged because things are not happening the way that we expect it to go? Are we troubled? Believers should expect persecution. Jesus was persecuted from the very beginning. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. 2 Timothy 3:12, and yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Through it all, God is in control. But are we prepared? Do you have a personal relationship with God? The only way to God the Father is through his Son, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that he is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Do you have a relationship with God the Father because you have accepted his Son as the forgiveness of your sins? Have you asked God to forgive you? Have you sought Jesus like the wise men sought? And then they were warned about the evils. Are you prepared? God provided. God will not forsake his children. But we must be listening. And we must be obedient to what his word says. Not what the king tells us to do. But what God has said that we should do. Let's pray. Dear God, I come to you this morning as a needy child of yours. We have fears. We are beset on every side. And yet through it all, we look to you in faith. We beg for your mercy upon us because we have sinned. We have turned against your word. We have turned against your way. As a nation, we have sinned and have condoned evil. Many today are rising up against you. Lord, help us to stay true. Help us to take our steps according to what you have told us to do. Help us every day to depend upon you and to seek you continually. Help us not to turn to the side, that we may continue to live under your grace. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve heaven. It's because of your love and because of your sacrifice of your Son on the cross of Calvary that we can even appear before your presence this morning. We thank you. And we pray for those that do not have that relationship. We pray that today they might seek you with all their heart. We pray that they will turn to you, turn from their wicked way and look to you and accept your Son, Jesus, into their life. Help Christians to be refreshed by your word this morning. To know that even in the midst of chaos, that you are in control and that you will nourish and you will lead us. May you be magnified and praised on this earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your time, and may God bless you.